Hey, this is Andrew J. West. I play Gareth, and you are listening to The Walking Dead Girl.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 61. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can by sending email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com, or you can call our voicemail at 1-844-TWD-GIRL. And of course, you can post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/The Walking Dead Girl Podcast. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you all that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening.
And we're going to talk about the show, of course, go into
yes.
detail about the show. We're going to talk about some...
And some comments that you guys had on this episode, which is season five, episode three. What is it called? Four Walls and a Roof?
Yep, that's what the church is. Four Walls and a Roof.
According, and that's what Maggie says.
According to Maggie.
The show, yes.
We'll talk a little bit about that because basically there's quite a bit of, you know, talk about what happened at the church.
Mm-hmm.
The bloody incident
and
at the church.
I didn't realize that the reason why they built that church from scratch is because... realistically, no church would really have them film all that bloody gory stuff in their church, if you think about it, which makes sense.
Yeah, because people would say, oh, this is the church where all this happened.
Yeah.
I don't want to go pray in there. And that also in the end of this episode, we'll talk about our Woodbury trip and what we saw on our trip to Woodbury. So let's read some Facebook comments. I love our fans. And we both love our fans.
Yes. Yeah, Dad, speak for yourself. Yes, we both love our fans.
Because we have awesome comments that they leave on their
like
Facebook
really
page.
Like, they really thought about it, and they're really taking it, like, I really love it. They have different perspectives. Like, Laura says, I don't think Daryl really... Because the question that we asked on Facebook was, so, do you think Beth is with Daryl? Also, why would Maggie and Glenn leave the group? And Laura says... I don't think Daryl really talks to Carol like that, like an older adult, because it always seems to me like Daryl acts like the little brother around Carol. But when he said, come on out, it sounded to me like more the mature, protective Daryl, like talking to someone more timid. So I'm hypothesizing, hoping it's Beth.
Yeah, because he said,
come on out.
Come on out. Like,
come on out. Like, he wouldn't say that to Carol.
Yeah, because first of all, why would Carol be hiding? Unless she's
done something or she would give her a reason to hide.
Yeah, because she's more confident now.
Yeah.
She's not how she used to be scared
Beth
of everything.
Beth would probably most likely be that. I think
Daryl and Carol would come out together.
I think the whole reason Daryl said they had Daryl say that is just to leave a cliffhanger, and it's probably Beth because we don't know where they were, so obviously they're going to leave us hanging. And my hypothesis is that Daryl and Carol went to that place that Beth is at, and the next episode is going to, maybe in the next two episodes, we'll be talking about that day and a half that Daryl and Carol was gone and what happened and how they got Beth back.
Well, they'll probably talk about what happened to Beth.
Yeah,
show
like
what
right
happened
after
to her,
she's been taken away.
And then right up to when Daryl and Carol meet up with her.
Yeah.
And then how that escape, quote unquote escape, because I'm assuming she's a prisoner there.
I'm assuming Daryl does figure out something because he did chase after the car that is the same one that took Beth, and he did come back, so we know at least Daryl comes back, so he's hopefully alive for this season because, you know.
And since he went and came back, assuming they found Beth, then it wasn't too far, so it's not like they went to like Washington or something.
Yeah.
They probably went somewhere nearby.
They probably went into the city though.
It could have been Atlanta.
It could have been Atlanta.
I mean, the preview showed
a city
that might have looked like Atlanta, but I didn't see any, because now we've been to Atlanta, we know how the Atlanta looks like.
Mm-hmm. How the Atlanta skyline looks like. I think it looked like Atlanta.
I didn't see any familiar Atlanta buildings.
Well, I think if it was Atlanta, they wouldn't go farther than Atlanta. Where else would they go? Yeah, it is Atlanta. I'm looking at the backdrop right now.
Yeah, maybe there is a few similarities to that.
And Kimberly says, Carol is with Daryl, but she has been bitten and Daryl cut her arm off. Or it's just someone new. Because it is not Morgan, because they don't know him. And Daryl seemed to be sad. And with you, I don't believe this kind of act.
Like, he's acting like, you all won't believe this, but...
Oh.
Yeah,
So who's bitten? Carol is bitten?
Well, Kimberly's saying that Carol has been bitten and Daryl cut her arm off.
Mm. Well, I mean, some people are saying that because it's like from a comic or something. I don't know. We don't want to get into that, but...
This reason exactly is why I like not reading the comics.
Because it won't influence you, and everything is comes out raw, like the way you want it to be.
Yeah, so I'm trying to interpret it as the story evolves over time, mm-hmm. on the TV show, rather than some preconceived ideas. Oh, this is how
what
the comic...
What are they taking from the comic
this
time?
Yeah, and then I'm always trying to... It's like a puzzle. You're trying to fit the comic to the TV show.
And
like,
there's nothing wrong with the comics. I'm pretty sure I would love the comics. It's just that for this podcast, we want to separate it.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
You can read the comics if you want.
Yeah. Okay. But Melissa says, Rick is on a whole nother level. I agree. That was incredibly brutal. I don't blame Glenn and Maggie for me leaving. They seem scared and shocked to see what Rick has become. As for whoever is with Daryl, I don't think it's Carol.
Hmm. No Carol, huh?
I don't necessarily agree that Glenn and Maggie are scared of Rick.
No, they're not scared, but they're probably...
I think everybody was just taken aback. Not taken aback by Rick, but just the whole situation. I don't think they disagree with what they did. It's just that it's hard to take in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's necessarily, oh, who have you become? Because Glenn still stuck up, still, you know, tried to keep Rick and her Abraham separate. And
yeah, there's some questionable moments, and Maggie and Glenn leaving is one of those questionable moments. Like, why? Why would they leave? Yeah. Like I could see Tara leaving.
I think it's because I think Glenn and Maggie. Well, Maggie will go wherever Glenn goes, and I think Glenn just wanted to keep the peace. I think that's the only way he knew he was going to keep the peace, like a sacrifice kind of thing.
Sacrifice himself.
Yeah, I mean,
and Maggie.
He still has that hope that they will see each other again. You know,
all of this just so that Abraham can stay with Rick another night. Like, oh yeah, whatever.
Because they need him to fight Gareth and his group.
It was kind of
weird.
And
it's just, I feel like the group is getting too comfortable with the idea that, oh, we'll always see each other again. And I guess they have a reason to, because after the farm burned down, they all met up. After the prison, they still all met up, you know? It's kind of like, yeah, we separate, but we always come back together. And I just think
they just rely on the writers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, the writers always write us together.
And Dad can't read a map, so that map is not going to help me.
But now that Abraham... Okay, well, we'll talk about it in a bit.
Okay, and Elizabeth says, as for Glenn and Maggie, there's a plot line in the works. Yeah, I agree with that. But only going by the looks on their faces when Rick hacked Gareth to bits, to them, he's willing to go too far. Rip kept his promise to Gareth when heads were in the trough. I'm going to kill you with it. And I think it was his exact words. And so he did. If they went back and finished them after escaping, Bob would have lived to fight another day, and Glenn and Maggie were against it then. This is saying a lot. This is saying that Glenn and Maggie were mad, or could not handle Rick, and it's saying that...
They said, oh, we shouldn't go back to finish them off.
Because they don't agree with it.
And they felt they were wrong. Maybe they were wrong, and then they feel bad about it? I don't know. But now it comes around, and then Rick kills... Gareth,
again, I don't think Glenn and Maggie are freaking out, because we would have seen it earlier.
I don't think they're freaking out.
We didn't see. And
well, I think they're shocked, obviously,
like
everybody else.
But it's not just Rick. Did you see Sasha hacking away at Martin there? You know what I mean?
We'll talk about that. That's a huge character change for Sasha. But yeah, I'm interested in talking about that with you.
And I think Elizabeth, is this also part of Elizabeth's comment?
Daniel? Yeah, just four walls and a roof, not a house of God.
Oh, wait, do you think Rick went too far hacking Gareth to bits and Gareth's group went too far being cannibalistic? Neither had to go that far. Can really act on one's hate in the apocalypse? And Bob's message was the same as Herschel's to Rick, balance.
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, what do you think? It kind of makes sense what she said with the Herschel's message to Rick, balance. Mm. But I also think that...
I think
they had to give a characteristic death for a like for that situation.
I think Rick has a handle on his anger now.
Yeah.
I think Rick
is totally justified in what he did, I think.
Yeah. He did the right thing, and well, not the right thing. It's the right for that situation. And also, I don't think what Bob said actually really affected him. I think Rick already has made up his mind about the apocalypse and about life in general.
Yeah, but he did say, but again, when Bob said, hey, that's just a dead man's opinion.
And he said, I'll take it, yeah.
He's not just saying that just because he's dying, but I think he really is going to take that into consideration. I mean, he's going to think, because he's not ignorant. He's not going to be an arrogant person where he's just like, oh, I don't take advice from anybody. He's someone who's curious. You know what I mean? Rick has that unique thing where
he listens to people.
Exactly, to an extent.
And ignores them.
You know what I mean? He's not all bad, and he's not all crazy. It's just there. You have to find a balance. Not everyone is evil, and the way he's going is just perfectly fine because he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Just Four Walls and a Roof, not a House of God, was an apt title for season 5, episode 3, Maggie and Glenn. Left because I think they yearn for some normalcy. Maggie may be pregnant.
What?
What?
Where are these things coming from? When did they say they wanted normalcy? They were pregnant? What?
That's, I think, wishful thinking. I don't see why Maggie couldn't be pregnant. I mean, Glenn's definitely doing it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think it's, they already have Judith.
Yeah.
And that would just be rehashing an old storyline. But it's a good thought. It's nice. I think they left because they wanted to settle a deal.
Yeah. They want to keep their promise.
And I didn't think they actually thought it was a real goodbye. Because they didn't really have a really long goodbye, you know?
You think they're going to meet up again?
No, because they said, what they thought? They said, we'll be in Washington. Yeah, we're going to Washington. We'll see you in Washington. Like, they didn't think, they're just like, oh, go ahead without us and we'll meet up kind of thing. You know, it's not... I don't think it's a real goodbye. Maybe not yet. I don't know.
And Davy Barker, our famous friend and author.
Yes.
Says, Maggie and Glenn leaving made no sense to me. Abraham insisting on leaving in the middle of the night to the point almost fighting Rick made even less sense. No way I'm driving off at night with cannibals outside or leaving Daryl and Carol behind if I want the security of this group. Yeah, I kind of agree with some of that.
For a while, I kind of like, okay, so he wanted to leave because he felt, I was like, okay, it makes sense. You wanted to leave because the cannibals are here and it's a threat to Eugene. Okay, but maybe you shouldn't leave right now. Leave the next day, but you didn't really have to take Glenn and Maggie. And then I'm like, okay, now that Gareth's group is dead, why do you feel like it's still unsafe? Why do you have to leave? And I'm like, can they just wait for Daryl and Carol to come back?
Yeah, couldn't you just wait? I think... Abraham is still playing his character as the guy who has to save Eugene and take him to Washington. I think he's playing that character to the latter, like to the extreme.
Yeah, he just wants to put everything behind him. Like, oh, this is getting too much. We have to go.
He wants to get to Washington as soon as possible, and he doesn't.
Maybe that's been what's been keeping him alive so long.
Doesn't want to get involved in all of this crap that's going on.
Yeah, like, he's like, yeah, thanks for saving me, but I'm not going to be sticking with this group. You know,
it sounds like Abraham is like some of the audience members are like, enough with the farm, enough with the prison, let's get out of here. And Abraham is basically the guy that's
embodies some of those people
moving on.
Yeah,
he's moving on, and I think
the group should too, but at the same time, they don't know the history of Carol and Daryl. If they just waited literally like a day, like until that evening, Daryl would have been back with Carol.
Yep. And, well, where is he back with Carol? We don't know.
Okay, who knows?
And Nikki Campbell posted a pic that you commented on, a picture of her and Andrew J. West at Walker Stalker Con.
It's like she knows.
To make you jealous.
And she's rubbing in my face.
And what did you say?
Oh, he's leaning into her. Like, they look so much more intimate. And I'm like, it's because I'm short. She's an awesome picture.
So you were jealous of that picture, huh?
Yes.
You got lots of pictures with him.
No, well, two, but in different places, which is kind of nice.
And so let's get into this episode. And one thing that, so do you think it was too violent?
I think I'm desensitized to that kind of stuff. I feel like I should really be, you know, affected by this scene, especially that last part, but I'm not. Like, literally... it's probably as brutal as the Tomas one, You know what I mean? Where you totally didn't expect it. The Tomas one, I was so like, whoa, right? But this one I was, oh, you know, but I was still freaked out because I didn't actually think he was going to go through with
it. Yeah, Tomas at the prison who got his head chopped in half, sliced like a
down
watermelon.
Yeah.
With a hatchet.
Watermelon, yeah.
Was that the same hatchet that he used on Tomas?
No, it couldn't be. No.
Maybe
but
it's his favorite red
handle. But at the same time,
handle.
It's kind of like the whole, that whole, that, okay, when right when they left and then that and then Gareth's group came in, I felt so scared for our group back at the church. Mm-hmm. I was like gripping, I let all the emotion take over me. Like, I'm going through this roller coaster of emotion right now. I don't care. They're going to die. Oh my God. They're never coming back. And then when
the whole group is going to get massacred.
Yeah. I didn't think that they were actually going to come back. I mean, I didn't want to think because I thought they're not going to do this. But obviously they did come back because they're smart. So let's start from the beginning.
Well, the beginning is kind of nice. I actually liked it because it shows the walkers behind the glass.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, it was cutting between the walkers.
And then Gareth's group.
Them eating Bob's leg.
Which is a nice parallel because it's kind of showing like they're not much different than the walkers if you think about it.
Actually, I didn't notice until the second time I saw it that, because when I first saw it the first time, my first reaction was, oh, these are walkers eating people.
Right. But this it's really Gareth's group, and you can't even see the difference.
This is a scene of walkers eating, because I didn't know what context, right? I just saw the walkers, and then people chewing. I thought it was the walkers eating people.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, wow. And then I realized that, oh, they're cutting between them. And yeah, you're right. It's basically saying that they've become walkers.
They're no different.
Walkers, then, yeah. And Gareth is doing another monologue.
I love his monologues. And he's saying basically, I don't know why we left those marks. There's nothing to go back to. So those marks that Morgan sees are made by Gareth's group.
So you're thinking
firmly believe that.
That it was just basically marks that Gareth's group
like
left.
That infinity sign with a circle? That's
it wasn't infinity. It was just a circle with an X.
Oh, with an X, yeah.
So Morgan is following signs that Gareth left.
That lead to the
church.
And
maybe the school.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where it's going to stop. Because they were following them.
And perhaps Morgan will end up meeting our group, but we don't know.
It depends on the time frame of how they get to the church, what time frame. And
I think Morgan's going to meet up like...
Eventually, not now.
Long
the fact that
now.
They put that scene at the very end means it's probably... Because a lot of people could have missed it, you know? It's not necessarily as important.
And one thing we want to clarify is that when Morgan saw the marks, it was a long time had
passed.
A long
time had passed, yeah.
Because specifically, they made it look like branches of the tree had overgrown over the sign that said no sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So because it was a long time, I'm assuming that our group has done many things since then.
Yeah.
And they're gone from the church.
So he's just basically following their footsteps. Following their trail kind of thing. And he talks about his pitch for people who want to be cannibals.
Yeah, we
about
talked
bears.
About that, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about another episode where Scott Gimple said that, you know, when people
take
come
into the room, it's like, but see, Gareth said it so poetically. He's like, they would either join us or feed us.
I love that line because it has a double meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like feed us, like, give us food, but feed us with your body.
Yeah.
Basically.
Literally feeding us your body, yeah.
Join us or feed us with your body.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was part of the pitch. Yeah, like, so he's said this thing. I don't know why he's saying it to Bob.
Well, because Gareth says, he says, I'm being nice to you or something.
I'm being human.
Oh, I'm being human, yes.
I'm talking to you. Have a little perspective, Bob.
That is so opposite from human. Like, he's...
I guess he's saying, see, I'm still being human because I could have just eaten you and, like, treated you like an animal, but I'm still talking to you like a human being.
Yes.
While I'm eating you.
While I'm eating
you.
I'm giving you pleasant dinner conversation.
Exactly. God. And he says, Gareth also reveals to Bob that he saw Carol, his people saw Carol and Daryl leave in a car, and that they were so close to killing them.
Mm. Yes, because it seemed like Gareth was saying too much, like it was too much exposition. Like, I felt like he was saying it for the audience's sake.
Well, yeah.
Like, for example, he says, I'm looking for that person with that gray-haired woman.
The gray-haired
fox,
queen
with the archer who killed my mother. And then he says, oh, yeah, Alex, oh, by the way, Rick killed Alex, my brother.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so much information.
I think he's trying to rub it in his face, maybe, saying all that he's done. I mean, I think it's also just to, for the audience's sake, too, because it's his last scene. Come on.
I think maybe because it wasn't really obvious. Mm-hmm. And
they wanted to make sure everything was out there, which is a good thing.
Make sure the audience knows exactly what
happened.
Besides,
he's insane. It gives him reason to talk, okay? That's just reason enough. And then he also goes on to say that he thinks women taste better because they have the extra
that was creepy
layer of fat. Going to the science and saying pretty people taste better too. Like
Sasha, rubbing it into like Bob's face.
What I want to know is how does Gareth know everybody's name?
Exactly. That's interesting. Because
especially when he went to the church, who's saying all of their names. Rosita,
he doesn't know Gareth, everyone's name.
Judith.
Like he doesn't
how know, does he know he Judith
doesn't
know exists?
He doesn't know Carol's name.
How does he know that Judith exists? Has he really been watching them? They've probably been following
wait
him.
Wait a minute, that's true. The only way he would know about Judith
is if he was following them.
Is if they were following and listening to their conversation. Mm-hmm. And also if while our group was in the church, mm-hmm. he was eavesdropping like from a window or something.
I think it was he was following. Because remember Carol and or Daryl heard something in the forest. He says, "Well, something's following us." Mm. I couldn't see any tracks. It was probably Gareth. It was Gareth's group.
Yeah.
So they probably heard a lot. See, they got so much information. And then Bob does his only thing that really kind of like makes light of the situation for him in any case is he's saying, oh, you're eating tainted meat because he's been bit. So now it's confirmed Bob has been bit.
He started off crying.
And then laughing.
And then converted it to laughter.
And then saying, I'm tainted meat. Because he's like, why is he laughing? Shut him up, right?
And then he reveals his bite mark.
See, the thing
under his shirt, which is... His shirt is not ripped at all, which is very sneaky of mm-hmm. them to do that. Like, you can't tell. He's like, it looks fine. But then, boom, there's a big bite there. I was on the edge, 50-50, whether, like, he was bitten or not. I wasn't 100% sure or not, but obviously he was, so.
Yeah. I knew he was bitten from the moment where I wanted that extra kiss, and it looked like a goodbye, because yeah. I know people do that in the movies and stuff, where they're, like, before they kill themselves or something, they do something dramatic. And also, I really feel Gareth's character is unique in a way that I feel like he's unsure because when...
Unsure?
Unsure of like what to do. Like he isn't like a leader as strong as a leader as the governor or Rick because, for example, like when Bob was freaking out and Martin was like, do you want me to do something about it? He's like, no. And he was kind of confused. Like, why is he laughing so much? And then also when he went to the church,
yeah.
Martin's like... Like, are we done kind of thing? And he looked like he didn't really want to. He says, okay, take the hinges off, you know? And then he was like just giving up when Rick had him down, which is, I guess, is normal for someone. But I don't know. To me, it seems like it's so much harder for me to hate Gareth. I don't know. I don't know why.
You're trying to find his good qualities.
I don't know. Dang it. Why can't he just be a 100% evil? Like, there's that part of him. It's like, well, it wasn't really his fault. That's what he kept saying.
The problem is you think he's hot. That's the problem.
That's not it, man. That's not just it, Dad.
You're biased by his
looks. I'm not that shallow.
By his hipster good looks.
I'm not that shallow. It's because think about the way he's went through. He told them us himself millions of times. Then again, crazy people don't know they're crazy. So.
Well, he, you're right about like he's not as strong as the governor or someone else, you know. But because I noticed that in his behavior. Yeah, you're right. So do you think that... Bob's tainted meat is actually tainted? I mean, would someone get sick?
I don't know if you already had the virus and then you eat it.
Because
you're not dead. Because it's not like, unless it doesn't kill you.
They cooked it.
And plus they cooked it.
So,
I'm like, there's the cure. Just cook yourself.
Yeah, just cook. Just go on a roasted flame and you'll be.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Because this is so, the disease for this is so specific. Like when you die, you will turn. When you get bit, you will turn. If you get scratched, you will turn? Yes, because remember Big
Possibly.
Tiny?
Well,
we don't even know for
we
sure.
We don't know if Big Tiny would have turned from a scratch because...
But I'm assuming you will. But
the scratch was from a bony, bloody zombie finger.
So DNA has passed.
I assume
yeah.
it went into his bloodstream.
But if you consume blood from a zombie, like let's say you attack them and they spurt in your face and you eat the blood, you won't turn?
Exactly. I mean, it has to make contact with your bloodstream somehow. Like,
kind of like AIDS.
It makes no sense. Don't try to figure this out.
I think it's kind of like AIDS.
yeah, like how can a bite turn the virus from dormant to active? Like, is it the one inside you is inactive, and then once
maybe in the zombies there's an enzyme that activates it or something? I don't know. Some crap like that.
Like in their teeth or something, mm-hmm. in their blood.
Like it needs an activated.
Their saliva and things.
Yeah, there's some there's some chemicals that activate that whatever is inside of you. Because how can everybody be affected by it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already in you, so you just need to activate it. I don't know. Some weird science that probably will never be explained to us.
And Sasha ends up...
searching in the woods for Bob, because they realize that he's gone.
And she has a cool little
night scope
gun.
And she sees the mark, but they don't make a big deal about it. But I think it's from Gareth's group.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, everyone's like, what's the mark mean? You know? And she also looks through her night scope and she sees somebody walking in the forest. So we probably know that's Gareth's group. Because they are watching them.
Yeah, and they also realize that Daryl and Carol are gone, but they don't know why.
Yeah, they probably assume that maybe Bob is alone. Maybe they have all three of them.
Yeah. And Sasha is, in this episode, I think, makes a real big character change. Like mm-hmm.
Appearance kind of thing, showing her real character.
Yeah, I mean, she started more in this episode. And also, we focused on her character and how she reacted to the whole situation. And I think she just freaked out. She just flipped out because of Bob. Like, she really liked Bob. And
yeah, because also at the same time, it's like he worked so hard to get her affections and he'd always be so positive and she'd always knock him down. And then she really cared about him because of that, you know?
Yeah, because he was weird like that.
No,
because
he was the positive one.
And, you know, she freaks out so much where she goes into the church and she confronts Gabriel.
And I thought it was Rick who was the one that's going to be confronting Gabriel like that. But no, it was Sasha first. I mean, yes, Rick did later, but Sasha was the one that was like, it's all connected. It was all you, you know? And all threatened to kill him and stuff. And then Rick took over.
That's where the line from the season 5 preview clip comes from, where it says, you know, you show up and three of us are gone.
Yeah.
Three of ours are gone. Mm-hmm. That's what it was all about. Basically, Sasha accusing Gabriel of being involved somehow.
Mm-hmm. And right before they get in, because you know how like it scares you by saying, oh, there's a zombie, wah! And then Tyrese comes up from behind her and covers her mouth. Why does he have to do that? Why do people do that?
Because he didn't want her to scream.
But still, I don't know.
You know, if someone comes from you behind and touch you on the back, you'd be like, yeah, what's that?
That's true.
Especially you'd scream your like crazy.
And then also when they get to the scene before Sasha starts talking to Gabriel, Maggie has a Bible in hand and she puts it down. And I think it's, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into this too much, but I think it's symbolizing like there is no God, you know?
Well, you know, Maggie had this whole thing during the season 2 on the farm episode where with Herschel, you know, Herschel believing in God and all that stuff.
Yeah, I just thought that was very symbolic of that, I guess.
So she has some history.
It's like a reminder.
Yeah, of her past. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Rick confronts Bob. You know, what did you do?
Because he thinks, like, what have you done? Yeah. If you don't tell me right now, I'm going to kill you because you probably started this. And then Gabriel finally cracks and says, yeah, this is not my fault, and here's why.
So he goes through his story about how he locked people out and stuff. So
what we predicted was pretty much the same.
Yeah, and I was thinking what the group was probably thinking, like, oh, that's it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right? The group sympathized. They're like, oh, he really isn't that bad.
He's just an idiot.
he's just pathetic. He's just a coward.
He's just a coward, pathetic little man who just acted like
and
pretty much.
I was kind of disappointed.
He basically acted like pretty much most people would, like afraid and just mm-hmm. lock people out because they.
It's, you know, especially since he's a priest, it's more deep on him.
I guess that's the big clincher in this episode, in this character of Gabriel, is that he is a religious person.
So
and
this
a
world
believer.
For him is so hard to go through because he has it's like he has to be a survivalist, but as a priest he always is always helping someone, so when he doesn't he feels like this heavy weight.
Yeah, he feels like he betrayed his faith and everything he mm-hmm. believed in, because you're supposed to help people, right?
Yeah,
you know, do unto others as you'd like done unto you, kind of thing, like helping and opening your doors, opening the church doors to let people in, but instead he locked them
because he was scared.
And he said,
"Oh." And he heard them screaming outside.
I know, which was probably horrible.
And then even, but Rick didn't look like he cared. Like when he told him the story, he's just like, oh, really? But Eugene, on the other hand, was sitting in the pew and he looked like he was going to cry with him. Like he looked, he had that emotion.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is all new to Eugene. I feel like he's been very sheltered.
Because of Abraham.
Because of Abraham, like they wouldn't stay long enough to see these things happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think this really affected him.
Because also in the scene where Abraham says, come, let's go.
He's like, I don't want to. Like a little kid.
Because he wants to be with these people because he cares about
them.
Yeah,
he's built this deep connection with these people that even they probably don't even know.
And then
they're like, hey, there's someone outside. And they're like,
whistling. They heard a whistle.
Probably Gareth.
Gareth probably
whistled. He's a good whistler too. And they find it's Bob, and Sasha was very emotional. She's like, oh my God. And then they brought back Bob back inside. And then someone shot a zombie that Rick was about to kill outside. And then Rick did this really awesome scene where he's shooting. He looks so badass when he's shooting a gun. God, I was like, oh. My Rick feels were like, yes.
and then they pull him in, and you know
they even painted an A on the church.
Oh yeah.
So dramatic, so much symbolism.
Well, because they're teasing them, right? They're teasing them. Gareth was like,
they're probably like giggling to themselves.
It's threatening.
Check this out, I'm so funny.
Hey, you know you're in train car A just like before, and guess what? We're gonna eat you.
Yeah.
And then Bob reveals his whole story and everything, and tells them that hey, you know Gareth saw Carol and Daryl.
I'm so glad Gareth told Bob that, and that Bob told them, so that they don't think that they just left. You know, like
yeah. I noticed that in all three episodes, the plot has been moving forward and has been
really quickly,
and it's been clear.
Yes,
there hasn't been any fumbling around,
any questions. You know,
and any kind of delays.
Yeah,
like.
So much happened in the last three episodes.
What's going on? Let's spend 3 days trying to figure out, or three episodes trying to figure out what's going on. No. Yeah.
Clear and cut.
Beginning, middle, and end. We resolve it. Someone says some information. We find out. Boom, let's move on.
But then again, it's like, that's good now, but will it be good later?
Why?
Will we always want this? I don't know. It's like, be careful what you wish for. You know what I'm saying? Because now maybe it'll lower the quality of that show. I don't know. It's all depend. I'm just saying. Just yes, this is great now. Just be wary of the fact that
like there's big mysteries hovering, like where's Beth and stuff like that. But there's no like little.
Where's
tiny,
Sophia?
There's no little tiny little things niggling.
Sophia! I don't know why.
Because you from the trip, right?
Who was that? That was doing that.
That was our tour guide on the.
Okay. Did Rick even act like that? Or Daryl is like Sophia
on our zombie tour. He also reveals to Sasha that I was bit in the water.
In the food bank.
In the food bank.
It sucks because she's like, oh, it's okay, I guess.
It's not okay.
Well, she said, I understand now.
I understand everything. Well, because, you know.
She knows why he's been.
Yeah, because Bob didn't want to.
Yeah.
Affect her with sad
news.
And
even in that, if you didn't understand that Sasha understood in that moment that, she understood now that he was trying to protect her. Later on in the episode, when they're having a private conversation, he says, I just didn't want you to focus on the end because I kind of like the middle. Again, also making it clear to the audience of his intentions, which I think is nice. I'm making connections here. I feel like, remember those Apple commercials where they made the Apple users look like they were idiots and they needed Apple helpers to ask them to solve simple questions for them?
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's what the show is doing to us right now.
They're explaining too much. And also I noticed that, you know, when Gabriel says, I have a bed inside.
Yeah, Sasha was like, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
It's like almost feel like she's saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry I yelled at you.
Yeah, because I guess you are a good guy.
Yeah,
you're just nobody.
You're not important. Which actually makes a good point, because why should they carry this guy along with them? Or will they? Because
he's just gonna be dead weight. Like,
yeah,
Eugene.
Literally.
Reason why they keep Eugene around is because he has the cure, supposedly. But other than that, drop him.
And Gabriel is a liability. Like, he's gonna die.
He doesn't even offer any moral support. You know, like, his views on God is so like within himself, and he can't even. It has no effect on their group. Like, this is no benefit to the group.
Yeah, because we've seen from previous seasons that the group is not very religious and believing in miracles.
They were. In season two.
They were.
You know? But not now anymore.
I think
it died with Herschel.
Yeah, maybe. And unless it gets rekindled with Gabriel.
I doubt it.
Maybe they'll bring
him up. Well, maybe now they kind of forgive him because now he knows their secret. So now I guess they're more accepting. Maybe Sasha is kind of like a hint of that.
But I mean...
Because Michonne at the end was like, yeah, those voices go away. It was kind of like relating to Gabriel. So maybe they're going to start to like him now.
Well, the thing is, you saw when they had the noise in the forest, and then Michonne gets up there to find out what the noise is.
And Gabriel goes, he's smart, okay? And he's doing what you're supposed to do when you hear a noise the night. You go inside. You don't check it out. So unless, don't hate on him.
Unless you're Michonne.
We got a katana. It's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what I'm saying, because he almost got killed in the...
On top of a rock?
In the can water thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Well, he was paralyzed by guilt. Why am I defending him? I don't know.
He's climbing rocks. Oh, I think Gabriel is basically just...
A liability.
He's just another person.
He's just there because of the church. He just came with the church.
They need another person to kill on the show just so that they make it interesting.
You think so?
So they're just going to carry him.
I think they just kept him around just for the church. I really don't think his story meant anything to them.
I
think it just showed how brutal Rick is willing to be. Like, mess with those.
I don't think Gabriel will join the group, or if he does, it'll be after much deliberation.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think that, like, when they leave the church, he's just going to be waving from the church.
Goodbye. And
he'll be one of those, you know, because I feel like
Gabriel... As the zombies devour him.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll be like that Sam kid, the blonde, remember the one that they saw back at the...
Yeah.
Be the one that first guy to get sliced. I feel like it's going to be one of those short stories, like, on the road, who do we meet this week kind of thing, you know?
I don't know.
Maybe so much. Not so much, but I don't feel like he's a permanent fixture.
Because they're...
And plus, he plays on Teen Wolf, too. He's still alive, as far as I can tell.
All the resources of the group are committed to defending him from getting killed.
Which is stupid.
Right? Yeah. Look what happened at the...
The food bank.
Actually, only
Rick was. Well, yeah, he's like, we had to get Gabriel.
Yeah, we have to change our plan to save this Gabriel guy. So they had to push the shelf over and stuff.
It caused Bob's death.
Exactly.
Maybe not, because he was actually going to get some food.
Bob ran into that. I'm telling you, he saw the
it's
bubbles.
His own damn
he,
fault.
Saw, he saw the bubbles in the water. He just said nothing.
He said, "Oh, maybe it's a jacuzzi." And then we have a really intense scene because Abraham's like, yep, Will, are we going to play this clip? Is this the clip we're going to play?
Yeah, because Rick is asking Gabriel where the school is and stuff like that.
It's a 10-minute walk south of the graveyard.
Well, actually, let's stop on that discussion for a moment, because why do you think Rick yelled at him to tell him exactly where it was?
Maybe Gabriel didn't want to come with him this time.
Oh, you thought Rick was going to say, and you're coming with us.
Yeah, but then I thought it's also just because...
It was like, again?
Yeah. Dang it!
But no, I think it was because Gabriel knew what Rick wanted to do.
Yeah, and he wasn't...
And he didn't want to be a part of it.
Thou shalt not kill, you know?
And he didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, he didn't want to be a facilitator.
Yeah, see, you got it this time.
And also, I like to acknowledge what Glenn said is like, yeah, when they realized about popping to Bob, he said, yeah, last time it took Jim from season one or two? Season one,
yeah.
2 days before we left him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of using basic on their prior knowledge.
Saying that it might take a while for Bob to turn, not too long. But
yeah. So let's play the clip with Abraham's confrontation with Rick, my favorite scene.
Time for a reality check. We all need to leave for D.C. right now.
Daryl and Carol are going to be back. We're not going anywhere without him.
I respect that, but there's a clear threat here to Eugene. I need to extract his ass before things get any uglier. So if y'all won't come, good luck to you. We'll go our separate ways.
You leaving on foot?
We fixed that damn bus ourselves.
There are a lot more of us.
You want to keep it that way? You should come.
Carol saved your life. We saved your life.
I am trying to save yours. Save everyone's.
We're not going anywhere without our people.
Your people took off.
They're coming back.
To what? Picked over bones?
You're not taking.
Do not lay hands!
Abraham!
Hey,
hey,
hey, stop! Now!
Do you really think that you're going to be any safer leaving right now, in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about tomorrow? We need each other for this. We need each other to get to DC. We can get through all of it together.
I have an idea. If you stay just one more day and help, I'll go with you to DC. No matter what. Okay?
Len and Maggie, too.
No.
Good luck, Dad. I'm not interested in breaking up what you have here. Rosita, grab your gear.
Abraham.
Now, Eugene, let's go. Eugene. Move it.
I don't want to.
No.
Okay.
You're not taking the bus.
Try to stop me.
Wait, hey. You stay. You stay and help us. And we will go with you.
No,
it's not your call. You stay, help us.
Half a day. Come high noon with taillights. No waiting for the other damn shoe to drop.
And we will leave with you.
I really like Rick in this scene. I don't know. He's just so dynamic in his voice, intonation, and everything. I just admire the acting. Oh,
I was actually thinking, okay, who would win in a fight between...
You see Rick? He was so ready to take him on.
Rick and Abraham.
I feel like Rick will, just because he's so violent. He just has that drive.
He has the crazy eye.
Yeah. I feel like just by looking at him, because the fact that he's just like, okay, let's fight.
No, he's like, okay, well, you're not taking the bus. And he's like, who's going to try and stop me? And there was a pause there.
He's like, okay. Because he's like.
No, because Rick was like thinking, can I take this guy? And then decided, okay, I think I can. And then he started walking towards him.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, he would win because at the end of the day, he's like, no, I need this for my family, because he's fighting for his family per se. While Abraham is just like, we need the bus for transportation. I think if he knew he was losing, he's like, you know what? Take the freaking bus. We'll find other transportation. This isn't really a point right now. But see,
well, the thing is,
Rick would be like, this is my life.
Well, because Rick is fighting for his group.
Yeah.
And his family. So at this point, Abraham is becoming another Gareth. It's like, you're just Gareth to me now. I'm going to take you out. No, I'm not.
At the same time, it's not that extreme.
It's not that extreme, but
he's like, Carol saved your life. We saved your life, and you're going to do, this is how you repay us. You're just going to take everything and leave. It's kind of like, Abraham doesn't get, and I think this is bound to happen, and I'm glad this happened now, and I'm glad this happened the way it is, because there's too many alpha dogs here. Too many.
I noticed the first time Abraham and Rick talked and confronted and talked about this Washington thing.
It was like tense.
Yeah, I knew Rick didn't want to go along with it. And plus, it was just a ticking time bomb, like when they would start confronting each other.
And I'm glad it happened like this. It was really well played. I think,
however,
at the same time, that's what, when you have alphas, the sacrifices have to be made, because they're both so arrogant and they're both so well set in what they want. There's no compromising. So Glenn had to basically step forward.
And Glenn twice stepped forward.
Yeah.
The first time and the second time, he's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey. And he's also like, no, it's not your call. When Rick is like, no, you're not going. He's like, well, it's not your call, because we're the one that decides to leave.
Yeah, because I'm the one who's making the negotiation.
See, there's three alpha dogs here. He's more of the underdog.
Well, I think Glenn was kind of the level-headed guy.
Yeah, he's kind of like.
Plus, he's kind of weak. I don't think he can fight either of them.
He doesn't want to fight them. Why should he? There's no reason for him to fight.
Maybe he's protecting.
And Eugene was just like, no. He's like, okay, fine. Like, he's just like so, like, yeah, like a little kid.
It didn't take much. Just like, it sounds like how I yell at you guys.
Yeah, like, go to bed.
Go to bed.
No.
Now.
Okay.
The same kind of thing. So
pretty much.
And Maybe Glenn is protecting Maggie's baby.
Oh my God! Since when have we ever been hinted that they are pregnant? I don't know.
No, and there's no.
Then again, it could be true because I had no idea Sasha and Bob were a thing. But then I could see it coming. I did see the signs because he was totally into her.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bob and Sasha, after this whole debacle, Bob is still positive with Sasha and saying that the benefits of having my head hurt is that I can't feel my legs and I can't feel my ribs.
There we go again.
Two goods. And she's like, "We're not playing that game, yo." And he's like, okay.
Yo. She actually said yo.
No. And then he, like I said, he's reiterating why he decided not to talk about the things because I didn't want us to focus on the end when the middle was so good.
And
I just wanted to be happy.
Right.
I would have done the same thing, honestly. If I was bit, I wouldn't tell anybody until the last minute.
I wouldn't. Because pretty much, what can you do?
Because I would. Because I don't want my family crying over me.
It's a death sentence. Yeah. So you know that you're going
to
die.
And you don't have to deal with them killing you or watching you kill yourself. You know, it's kind of like.
And plus, everyone's going to be miserable all day.
Yeah. Why ruin a day? Celebrate my death. Don't cry over it. When I die, I want there to be a party.
You want us dancing over your grave?
Yeah. I don't want no black because black is ugly. And I want it.
What do you want? Pink?
Colors. Whatever you want. You know, hipster colors.
What are hipster colors?
Green,
Jess?
Like earth tones.
Okay.
I just wanted to be happy. I don't want it to be sad. Remember my life, not my death.
And so Rick has a plan.
And I hate when they don't tell us the plan. We have to wait for the end of the show to figure out what the plan was.
Well, they kind of imply that they're going to go to the school and
they kind of trick us
and kill Gareth.
Hmm.
And here's another moment where Tyrese has to step up and Rick says, you know, are you up for this? And he's like, nope.
And then Sasha's like, yo, I'm coming. And why is she saying yo? I don't know.
Because you said yo.
She's coming.
Yo, I'm coming.
And no, then she's Tyrese saying, is like, no, you have to stay with Bob. I think he would want you to stay. And she's like, no, he would want me to go. Well, you'd want him dead. He doesn't care about seeing my face. When really, I think Bob would love to see her when he wakes up. So she's, I don't know why she wants to go. She just wants revenge, right?
Yeah. She's thirsty for blood. She wants revenge.
Because she's not that wishy-washy type. You know what I'm saying?
I want to be a part of this, whatever this thing is. I want to be a part of it. I don't know what it is.
But I want to be a part of it.
But I want to be a part of it. Are we baking a cake? I'm in.
I'm buying the flour.
I want to be part of this.
And Tyrese again, and she says, here, take the knife, and he put it to his temple when he stops breathing.
Yep.
And then even you were like, is he going to do it this time?
I thought, no, don't give the knife to Tyrese. He's gonna screw it up again.
And then he's talking about forgiveness. And this, can you explain to me, like, audience, can you explain this to me? This scene, for the first time ever, I was kind of confused. Because he said,
okay,
you're the only one that can forgive. Like, you have a choice or something.
Well, because she said, she worded it as, you know, we don't have a choice. And kind of like...
a choice in what?
Talking about the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
No, a choice in not... killing Gareth or not attacking Gareth,
mm-hmm.
like just letting them be,
yeah,
right, or kind of a peaceful negotiation, whatever that means. But I think Tyrese is talking from experience because he forgave Carol,
yeah,
for killing Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he's saying, yeah, I was there where you are. I wanted revenge. I almost beat the crap out of Rick. Remember?
Yeah. But he didn't, basically saying, don't let your anger control you and miss out on this small moment you have with Bob left.
Yeah.
Like, forgive that for a moment just to spend time with him.
And that's kind of the reason, you know, it's the moral compass. I hate that phrase, but yeah, it's basically...
All the moral compasses in the show die, so stop flinging that word around.
Yes, you might be next. So Tyrese is kind of trying to keep the peace and provide a level head, kind of like Glenn and that. So that's basically.
Sasha and Rick are very explosive characters.
Well, now she is because she has a reason to. So she hit home because she she feels for Bob because
she actually cared about him.
Yeah, and you know she wants revenge.
And so they leave, and as soon as they leave, there's this awkward pause. So I was like, what happened to the show? Like,
I timed it. It was actually 10 seconds.
That was 10 seconds?
From when the group disappeared And then the Gareth's group showed up. It was 10 seconds of silence.
That felt like 30 seconds or at least a minute.
It felt like it was 10 seconds of dead time, like frozen, nothing happening on the screen.
Yeah, that was we're so awkward.
We're just staring at the sign of the church.
Oh, expecting something to happen. I was expecting something to jump out of this.
Also, we want to point out that this episode was directed by a brand new
director,
who used to be an assistant director.
Uh-huh.
For the entire show, like all seasons. So he was basically learning. It's like, here's my chance.
My moment.
Here's my moment to shine.
To shine.
And I guess his mark on the show was this long pause of...
You think so?
Yes. He's like, I want to put my stamp on this. I'm going to have a 10-second...
You think that is
screen
that
time where nothing's
is
happening?
That, like real, this real evidence, or is you just
no?
You
I'm
think?
Just I'm just guessing. I'm just making
what?
It up.
I don't know. Okay, so yeah, there was this awkward pause because I guess freaking Gareth's group didn't get their cue on time, and they're like, let's just keep rolling.
It's like, Gareth, go! It's your turn.
Go, man! It's your time.
No, they could have re-edited it, but no, they did it on purpose. And I think the reason why they did it was because
to leave us hanging to see. Oh, like, my gosh, what's happening next?
What's gonna happen?
It's like, I thought, are we gonna follow them to the school, or oh my god, Gareth's group is coming back. Oh my god, the group's Judith, go, no, you know, like make you freak out. Those were the 10 seconds to freak out.
Okay, well, while this was happening, the gears were turning in my head, and you were freaking out, like, oh no, Gareth's group here, but they went to the school, and I'm like, oh, I see what's happening. I kind of
you knew there was a plan, it was a plan.
I saw it coming because,
yeah, you did.
First of all, Rick is not stupid.
Yeah.
And it was kind of obvious that, well, there's two reasons why they drop Boff there. One was because he's tainted meat. And the second was because they knew that Bob would tell them everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Tell them where they were.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they knew that once they find out everything, the group is going to come and attack them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gareth wasn't stupid either. He was smart.
And I think, yeah, Gareth knew that, hey, these walkers are going to break through the glass. So maybe by the time the group gets there, the glass will break and they will have to deal with
because they did show
that.
The walker, the glass breaking.
Yeah, now that's why it kind of confused you, right?
Because they thought, oh, Gareth is planning a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I knew. I had a feeling it was a trap. Yeah. Like, Gareth is not just going to sit there and be shot
Let them come to them. Yeah, no.
So I kind of saw it coming, to be honest, but I didn't know when Rick was going to make his move because they were living it to like the last minute.
He's like, when he was saying, take the hinges off.
Yeah.
Like legit. That's why I was like, oh my God, they're actually not going to come. This is going to be a bloodbath.
And then, so Gabriel goes.
Gabriel.
Gareth. They both start with G.
Yeah. So they're trying to make. And they're trying to make deals, I see. Like, see, this is why I'm saying that Gareth really doesn't want to do this, because he's saying, you guys can come out. We know you're in here. See, Gabriel, come out. We have nothing against you. I'll even let you take the baby. You know, like, really? No, you're going to eat the baby. It's a nice appetizer. Come on. Why would you pass
that up? There won't be a Walking Dead Girl podcast until we talk about eating babies.
Right?
We have to talk about it, eating babies
exactly.
At least once.
Since Judith has been born, we're like, this is going to happen.
Someone's going to eat Judith.
So how do they... No, yeah, we talked about how they know all their names. And the baby's acting was like on point because when
camera focuses on the baby.
She looks scared. She's like, oh, shit, that face. I loved it. And Carl was just like, Carl didn't have any lines in this episode, did he?
Nope.
Must be nice.
Yeah. And then so he was talking and then Martin says, are we done yet? Basically that what Martin was saying.
He's like, come on, hurry this up.
No. Well, no, he's basically saying that all of this stuff is
just for show.
It's just for show. Mm. We want to go in here and kill all these people and have a feast.
A epic buffet. Proportions.
A feast of epic proportions.
And then
proportions.
I'm like, is no one going to talk about the fact that Martin was alive and that Tyrese didn't kill him? Can we please address that?
No one addressed it. I mean, in this episode.
You know who killed Martin? Sasha. She could do it.
Exactly. That was a good observation. Sasha killed Martin, who Tyrese was supposed to kill.
See, they're opposites of each other.
Yeah, they're opposites. Sasha was like, you know.
The way she was taking him out, too, is like she was taking out all her anger out at him.
Yeah. And so what happens, obviously, is they're right at the door, and then Rick comes. You hear Rick's voice. Oh, no, basically the two guys get shot in the head.
Uh-huh.
And
then Gareth's like, oh, crap. And he tries to take control. He's like, see, I could shoot this door right now, bam, you know, because he was trying to talk about it, like try to have a hostage situation.
He was trying to threaten him by saying, hey, we got our guns pointed at this door, we can shoot the door down. But Rick is like, has none of that. He's like,
shot his fingers off. Get those fingers out of my face.
Shot his fingers off, which I think was sending a message,
basically saying Rick doesn't give a crap anymore.
Yeah, Rick, all of them, they could have killed them, but they didn't. Why?
They were saving their bullets.
No.
Oh wait, what are you talking about?
It wasn't for that.
Wait, what are you saying? Why do you mean they didn't kill him?
Well, when they walked in, they could have shot everyone from the shadows.
Because he was saving his bullets, and he wanted to kill him with a machete, and they wanted to get their aggression out.
I think that's the main thing. They wanted to get their aggression out. Exactly. It wasn't.
They saved their bullets. Like, why? Like, this is not going to be as satisfying as if I used this machete.
Three bullets saved them.
No, come Dad. On. Come on. This is the apocalypse. They're not making bullets out of nowhere.
Well, my point is that that was just a line he said. Oh, we're saving our bullets, but they weren't really saving their bullets. They just wanted to torture them and have them, you know,
take out their aggression, because literally this is probably the only scenario where it's okay, because they're cannibals, they're killing people, and they'll kill again. They have to kill them. It's for the greater good, killing the few to save many, kind of thing. Like it's totally justified.
Rick just wasted a bullet shooting Gareth's fingers.
Well, that was for show, because he probably was impulse and was just pissed off at Gareth.
He should have got shot Gareth in the head, but instead he shot his fingers. That's my point, is he did it. It was a whole...
He's trying to torture him.
It was basically a cat playing with his food, like a rat, you know? It's like, hey,
basically doing the same thing that... Because, well, it's not even... And don't even get me... If you try to say, oh, that's bad. No. They are cannibals. They've been killing and slashing and eating people for God knows how long, okay? So everything they're doing to them is justified. Maybe not so much because the fact that they don't know what they're doing is wrong. So can you really blame them at the same time? But then again, people will be saying, well, they didn't know that, though. They like, they knew, they didn't realize what they did was wrong.
Of course they did. They didn't care.
They didn't care. Yeah.
They changed. Remember? Cause they said, oh, we used to be good, but we changed because when we got attacked.
Now we define our own good, kind of thing.
So I don't know. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jasmine.
And Martin was
Andrew's crazy.
It's okay. As long as Rick's still alive, I don't care. He was just a side.
Well, like you said, there can only be one Andrew, right?
There can only be one.
Yeah. So the other Andrew had to go.
Pretty much.
Yep.
And then Martin was like, even up to the end, Martin was like, God, I'm so done with this apocalypse crap. He's like, we don't have a choice, Martin. He's like, we do.
We can work this out. Though, like, he thought he was going to get out of it or something.
I think he was basically, yeah, we do. We could just fire on them and die. I mean, because Gareth's like, we don't have a choice. If you want to live, we have no choice. It's like, yeah, we have a choice. They can't take our choice away from us. There's just the consequences that come with our choices. Is you rather give yourself no choice, kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. And then, of course, Rick says what we expected him to say, because he had the red machete, handle.
I'm going to keep my promise. Because, like, you know, Gareth was, like, trying to defend himself. Because he's like, you could have killed us when you walked in, but it's just like, there's no point in begging. But then again, you could have killed us when you had the chance. And he says, then we were trying to save our bullets. Plus, we want to take out aggression on you.
Yeah, we wanted to torture you by hacking you to pieces.
Yeah, he basically wanted just his speech just so he can kill him.
And I knew he was going to hack him, because just before he said that, they showed that the handle, the red handle of his machete. And I was like, oh, okay.
I even think I saw Gareth look at it too, for real quick.
I don't know if he did, but yeah. So he just grabbed it and just hacked away. And like you said, and Abraham bashed out one person. Or was it a woman?
No, I think...
Yeah, well, Abraham was bashing someone with a gun, and Sasha stabbed Martin.
And then we saw that body after, and then we realized it was Gareth.
It was unrecognizable.
But it was Gareth. His guts were all like out because he's been slicing and dicing at him, man.
Yeah, because Rick was going crazy.
And it kind of reminded me the way Rick was slashing at Gareth kind of reminded me how Tomas was slashing at Big Tiny at the back of the prison. The blood was spreading in his face. He had that crazy look in his eyes.
Exactly.
You know, like he didn't care.
That was exactly a mirror scene. Like the way...
From below, yeah.
The way Rick was slashing at Gareth was exactly the same as
the way Tomas was slashing at Big Tiny.
Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's kind of scary, right?
Scary.
Evolution. And the way Rick looked at Tomas, it's like
ooh, who's this guy? And then...
But then again, Tomas is still not justified, but he's more justified
Tomas
in this one.
Tomas was a killer. Yeah. Tomas was a murderer. Probably that's why he was in prison.
See, the thing is, the normal now is... Yeah, see, Tomas is being put in prison for that attitude, but now that's the only way you're going to survive, man. Like, that's the normal.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm saying. So Rick has control of his faculties. He knows when to be a murderer, like not a murderer, but
right
a killer.
And then right after that, he was like, you know, bouncing Judith on his lap, like no big deal. Like,
yeah. Whenever they show Judith, I can tell like.
It's so much work for him.
Well, not for him, but the whole crew. Because to get a baby to sit still without crying,
mm-hmm.
like in a stranger's arms and trying to figure out what's going
on. For hours, yeah.
You know, whenever Judith is looking away or in the distance, you can tell someone's in the background going,
like, hey, come on, be happy.
Making funny faces or like, look here. And then they edit them out.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is also like at one point as Rick was sitting down, Judith looked around. She looked like she just finished crying. So she probably was crying for like a while. And then like they just like, okay, she stopped crying. Record now.
And then the last scene where he's sitting next to Bob, she's actually sleeping. Like from one scene, she's looking around. And the next scene, she's like out cold. She's sleeping. Like, how fast did that happen?
Come on, she's a baby.
Exactly. So they were like, well, it's the best we're going to get. Sorry.
Oh, well. At least she's not crying. All that scene, we forgot to talk about how Tyrese
let's talk about your favorite scene in the whole show, which is Tyrese
right
is,
after the hashing stuff.
No, Tyrese is looking at Sasha slashing and he slowly backs away,
slashing at Martin, dark. The same person he was supposed to kill. She's like, oh crap, back away.
Tyrese is
back into the doorway.
Into the darkness.
Yeah.
Like he backs away into the
like,
dark.
I was never here. Martin is alive? What? I just imagine him closing the door.
That's the only thing that was missing from that scene. It would have made it perfect if he was like slowly closing the door as he moved back. That would have been awesome.
His eyes were like huge. He's like, oh, that's Martin.
My sister crazy.
Oh, that was so funny.
My sister's crazy.
Why do you sound like Mario?
Hey, my sister is a crazy. It's a crazy meatball. Okay. Yeah, so that was hilarious. So that was our...
Out of that brutal scene, we found a laugh.
That was our comedic moment. And then, of course, everything... Oh, and then Gabriel says, you know, this is the house of...
Yeah, this is the house of God.
This is like, the Lord's house or whatever.
He's like, no, this is just four walls and a roof, honey.
Which shows Maggie's true thought, feelings about faith and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
And then we have that scene where we thought, oh my God, that's Carol. That was the one lying that everyone's gathered around. But no, it's actually Bob. And I don't know why we didn't see that coming once we knew that Bob got attacked. Like, oh yeah, that's Bob in that scene.
Mm.
But yeah, it was actually everyone saying their goodbyes to Bob. And after that, they all leave. And then Bob says... his thank yous to Rick, and he has a whole speech that we talked about saying that, yo, we have a choice and who to pick because you saved me and I wouldn't be here because of you. And just reminding him of who he is and don't forget.
Yep. It says, because he's reminding Rick about the conversation he had with him before
mm-hmm.
when they were walking and saying, hey, all this is going to end at some point and you're going to be sitting somewhere with a house and with your kids and... it's going to be all history.
Yeah, so it's when you look at this girl, how can you tell me that nothing's going to change?
Yeah, he says the nightmares end and they shouldn't end who you are.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he took that advice.
And that's what's going to keep Rick balanced and level-headed about these things is stuff like that. I don't think that it's necessarily a reminder, but I feel like he already knows, you know? That's just who he is.
And then Sasha gives Tyrese the knife and says, you got to shove it in his head when he... Oh, no.
Because then Sasha talks to Bob and Bob wakes up and says, oh, you were smiling. And then she said, oh, this was so sad. She's like, because then for once she asked, so what good can come out of this, of your death? And then
he died.
And nothing. It was just so emotional. I was like, ooh, right in the feels. And then... every time someone dies and someone's just crying, I get so nervous that they're just going to wake up and eat them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stab him, right? And Tyrese comes in and encourages him.
When, remember that scene with the governor when he met the Tara and them in the apartment? And who was that guy who had this gas thing? He died.
In right? the book you're talking about, right?
No, in the show. Remember when the governor was wandering around? He ended up in the apartment.
Was that in the show?
Yes, with Tara and her sister.
Oh, okay.
And there was this old guy who was sick. And
that was straight out of the book, man.
I know, but he was in the bed.
Yeah.
And he died. And then the governor's like looking around like, he just died. He's going to come back to life. Yeah.
Like, you got to kill him.
So it was the same thing. It's like, stay away from Bob.
But she knew. She had the knife ready and everything. She was just mentally getting herself prepared. And then Tyrese comes in and then he does it. And I think
that was a good thing of Tyrese. He basically saved Sasha from that.
Because she's moment. All toughness out on the outside, but when it comes down to it, it's hard. Not just that, but it's just hard for anybody, you know? And I don't think it's Tyrese getting over his killing thing. It's like, no, this was right. This is what he had to do. Anybody would have done it.
Yeah, he just spared. He did it for Sasha.
Yeah.
Basically, so she didn't have to go through it.
And it's like he's already dead anyway, so it's not like he's, you know, having any moral compass issues.
I just hope he did the right thing. He did a good job. And notice that they actually showed it.
Yes.
Because if they didn't show it... No one would believe that Bob was dead. Everybody would say, oh, but they didn't show Bob die. He's going to come back as a walker. Blah, blah, blah. No, he's dead. Okay, fine. Tyrese did it. It was on camera.
Case closed. And then we have...
The shoveling, yes.
Burying. And Rick was talking to
Tyrese. So why would they bury the Gareth
group? That's just Tyrese. I think that's just what they do. They bury the dead.
I think Tyrese... had an argument. It's like, we can't leave them. We must bury them. Okay, fine.
Oh, fine. Dig the holes. Let them do something. Keep them happy.
Dig a hole and just throw them in there.
Yeah.
And then...
he asked... And this is... I got so annoyed by you because you kept rewinding it. You didn't understand. It's so easily to understand. You're taking it so literal. Okay. Rick joins Tyrese. Starts digging. He says, I never asked you what was it?
See? You can't even say it.
No. I know the question.
Never asked
how you. How is it getting determined?
How it was for you?
How was getting determined?
Heading to terminus
for you. I never asked you, and he said
it killed me. What does that mean? It killed me.
It means that a part of him died inside because he watched two little girls kill each other, and he went through so much crap, and he had to go and forgive Carol and work with her, and it just killed him inside. Like it killed him, and plus the whole thing. Everything plus dealing with Martin almost killing the babe Judith and everything, and then he's like, "Yeah, it killed me spiritually, you know, mentally." And then Rick is like, "No, it didn't
because you're still here.
Because if it killed you, you would be dead. Because at this point, we just take everything. There's no nothing kills you because we're strong enough to handle it, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
Okay, fine, but they talk so softly in this show. I can't even tell. I had to turn the captions on. Okay, so then we get to the scene
Then they say their goodbyes to Glenn and Maggie.
Oh, right.
Did Tara go in? I didn't even see her in the bus. They just focused on Glenn and Maggie.
Tara's in the bus.
Yeah.
And
he gives him a map saying, just follow us.
Abraham gives Rick a map. And on the map, he says, sorry.
I was an asshole, but...
Come to Washington. The world's going to need a Rick Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay, fine. Do you think Rick is eventually going to go to Washington?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's going to take a while, though.
Yeah, there's probably going to be some stuff happening with Beth and all that. With what Daryl sprung on us after. Comes out of the bushes. Who is that? I don't know.
Yeah. And then, so Michonne and Gabriel are sitting on the church steps.
And he's talking about the voices that he's hearing of those people, you know?
Because I don't think until he actually, because he hasn't been.
He hasn't really said it out loud.
Because these are the only people he's met. So
since the incident.
He hasn't really talked to anybody. And because he said it out loud, he says, well, it became more real now, and the voices came back, and I can hear them in my head.
Yeah.
And Michonne's like, brother, you know nothing about voices. I got voices, man.
No, but she said she was kind of sympathizing. He's like, yeah, that doesn't go away. She's trying to be sympathizing with him.
Yeah, because she's been through the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
She hears her dead boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. And then the scene we talked about already where Daryl comes out.
Who is it?
And Gabriel takes off. He's scared.
Yes, like me. I would do that. And that wraps up that episode.
I don't know who is in the bushes, but if based on
I'm just going to patiently wait till next week.
Based on what we've seen so far and how the writers and everybody has been putting things forward, I don't think it's going to be a surprise. I think it's going to be Carol and Beth.
Yeah.
I don't think the writers are going to pull any surprises. I don't see why they would. The only surprise that they would pull is if they meet some new people and they bring them along.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, come on out, meaning it's safe. Everybody come out.
Like, if there's more people that they met.
It's like, where's Carol? I'm just fine, Carol. I found all these people.
So I don't know if they want to introduce new characters. Here's a good time to do it because Daryl can bring in some new characters. But at a minimum, you got to have Carol and Beth. Or this would be really crazy and the fans would revolt, is that Carol somehow dies during the rescue mission for Beth. And Carol's not there. She's dead. And they're going to show us her death in the next episode.
We already had someone dies. Too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon for a new death? Well,
like, let us get over Bob at least.
But I don't think they're going to kill Beth. If either Beth or...
It's just too much has gone on so far for her to die now.
Either Beth or Carol, I would say Carol. If there was a choice, I would say Carol would die. But again, fans would revolt because Carol saved everyone and now she's dead. I don't know if it'll play too well.
Yeah, I don't think so. Then again, it's just like, we can assume all we want, but we just got to wait. I hate guessing because then I'm wrong and I'm like, no. And let's go on and move on and talk about Woodbury, our trip to Woodbury. So our trip included Woodbury and also different parts of Georgia. Like,
we went on two trips.
Mm-hmm. We did the full tour.
We went on Atlanta Movie Tours. If you go to atlantamovietours.com, you can find all the info on that. And they run those tours all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, mostly Saturdays and mostly on weekends. But they run those tours all year, and they have two of them. They call it the Big Zombie Tour Part 1 and the Big Zombie Tour Part 2. Part 1 is the one that they do around Atlanta, because a lot of the Walking Dead scenes were filmed around Atlanta. And Big Zombie Tour Part 2 is in Sonoy, Georgia, which is a stand-in for Woodbury.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two locations. So we went on the first one, which was like at 9:30 or 9 a.m. until 12. And then the part two was around between 2 o'clock and 4 or 5. And we almost missed our flight back home.
Yes, we almost did.
It was a little bit crazy because the trip was running late.
And yeah, because they were a little off schedule. We're like, oh, that's fine. We get to spend more time in the sets, you know, looking at stuff.
And I'm like, Little did we know
that, oh my God, we're going to miss our flight. And we have to get back to school because I have school the next day. And luckily, the guy was so polite. And the
bus driver of the tour bus actually drove us
straight to the airport, to the hotel, to pick up our bags.
And then to the airport.
Feel like he was past his shift because I saw on his phone, like his girlfriend or his daughter or wife or whoever was on it. I even saw a picture and everything calling. And then he's like, oh, I just need to drive these folks to the airport. I'll be home late.
Yeah, that was nice of him. So all good things to say about the tour. I recommend if you guys are in Atlanta to go on the tour for sure.
The guy who toured us the first time was so funny. I loved him. And he's like a famous walker. He's been a walker a couple times in that show. And so has... Our part two guy did too. Mm-hmm. They're really good at their job. Like, you can tell they really love The Walking Dead. They're just as big as fans as we are.
And the nice thing about these tours is that it's not always the same, because as The Walking Dead keeps filming,
they add more stuff.
They film all in around Atlanta and Sonoy. So they constantly filming new things. And I was wondering, you know, with this last episode we saw, you know how we saw the church?
Yeah.
They built that church just for the show. I'm wondering if they're going to keep it up.
But then again, what they do is, like, they usually always leave the things the way they found it, so they might tear it down.
They might tear it down. But that would make a great stop.
Have to leave the blood splatters and everything.
Well, they can't clean that stuff that well. Maybe they can. I don't know. But
they left the blood splatter at the hotel where, Merle was taking Michonne hostage, and he tied her up to a post, and she killed the walker with a wire. Yeah, it was...
So some of the places that we went to was was the...
We went to a lot of the season one areas. Like, we went to where the hospital that Rick first came out of and saw all the bodies. And then we went to the police station where they saw the... He saw the walker.
His walker friend.
Yeah. The not-so-smart cop. And he was left with Morgan. And we went to...
So, yeah, the police station. We went to...
Hospital where he came from.
There was a bridge where Rick
rode in on his horse into Atlanta. And the streets that he was on driving with his horse.
Yes, where the tank was. All the streets were in and around Atlanta. Mm-hmm. The store.
Ooh, the mall that they stopped, the shopping center that they stopped at with where he first met Andrea.
Yeah, when there was a walker outside that picked up a rock and smashed a window.
Mm-hmm.
We took pictures in front of that, which was cool. We'll post them on Facebook at some point if I can get off the camera. But there was an entranceway with glass doors, and that's where they filmed it. And they told us on the tour that eventually they're going to tear the building down or they're going to change it somehow.
Yeah.
So those doors are not going to be there anymore.
They're going to replace the windows.
But those doors with those slogan on it. Yeah, we're actually just put there for the show, the movie, so the TV show.
And also on, the same area where we saw the bridge where Rick was walking through or riding through with his horse. On top of that was the roof where Merle was chained up.
Yeah.
And where the group was. And that was pretty cool. And we also saw where they left the box truck.
Yeah.
And then, and the corner that the red Mustang that Glenn was driving through and how it was peeling across the corner. We saw that area too.
Yeah.
We saw a lot. And then we also saw from season four where Carl sitting on top of the house.
Oh yeah, we saw the house where Carl was sitting eating his pudding, and there was people working on the house. They were they were renovating it to sell it or something.
And then he said that they had to put up a private residence because people would try to climb the roof to have the kids sit on
that was
on top.
Hilarious.
Yeah, they said they had kids. They would have people bring their kids to sit on top of the roof with a can of pudding like Carl, and it got pretty dangerous.
And they were taking photos of them.
Yeah.
Man.
Hardcore, man. Fans. If we lived in Georgia, we would, don't even lie, we would totally do that.
Probably. I would tell, hey, Jasmine, go over there. Run, run. Let me take a photo. Hurry up.
It's not like you were
the cops
already,
are coming. Run.
You were already doing that on the trip. Not even lying. Because, should we talk about it?
Yes, totally. What other things did we see in Atlanta, though?
We saw where Martinez and Daryl were having their little shootout, I can kill a zombie thing, when the governor was meeting with Rick barn.
That was at Insinoy.
Yeah, that was Insinoy.
So basically, one thing we learned, which was interesting, and we'll pass this little bit of information along to our audience, was that because of the agreement that the AMC Studios, or the company that's doing the filming, has with the studio, right? They say that they can only do filming within 50 miles.
I think that's just been recently signed for the new season.
Oh.
I don't think it was always like that. I think it's because now they know how popular it is and how such a big hit it is in Georgia. They're keeping it in Georgia.
Yeah, so they have a contract basically that says you can only film within 50 miles of a certain area. And which means that no matter what, how the plot goes,
they have to
figure out how to film there. So I guess we can reveal this a little bit, but there's a scene in the preview where it shows a truck falling off a bridge in the preview, the Comic-Con trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And
the background, we thought it was Atlanta.
That looked, well, it is in Atlanta. Oh, yeah, it was filmed in Atlanta. We saw the bridge, but they told us that it looks kind of like Atlanta, but it wasn't meant to be Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant to be another city.
Yeah.
We won't tell you what city it was.
Yeah.
But it was meant to be a different city. So if you saw the preview and you thought, oh, they came back to Atlanta.
It's probably not Atlanta.
Probably not Atlanta.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. We still don't know for sure.
We know it's some other city. So.
And also, we went to Woodbury. When we went to Woodbury, we saw the actual street. And we even saw the alleyway that Andrea and Merle were talking in.
Yeah, Sonoy, Georgia is far from Atlanta. It's a good an hour drive, about 45 minutes drive.
Yeah.
And
literally, some of the roads we were driving by, like, oh my God, there was a scene that was done here, probably. Because it looks exactly like in the show whenever they drive down the road.
Yeah.
And
the town is pretty, very small.
Very pretty.
There's only one little road that goes through the middle. And the Woodbury shop, which is right there, they had a lot of, they have a basement.
Mm-hmm.
So they have souvenirs and things, and that's where you bought your...
my Clementine hat.
Your Clementine...
Which I love.
D hat. And in the basement, they have a little kind of like a museum or something. It's, they show, like, they have different things from the show.
And apparently, a lot of the cast come by, and they all sign the basement walls.
Yeah, all over the walls, there's
mm-hmm.
Phrases and sentences that...
It's like, look at the flowers from Carol.
Different actors have written on the walls, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And,
gosh, Dad, you are so like
okay. So, a short distance, we're driving, like,
so we're the walking bus is going down by. At the end of the road of the Woodbury okay,
hold
Road.
Hold on. The tour bus is coming into the town. I'm like, hey, this is weird. There's a wall there.
There's wall. There seems like to be, it looked like
there's a weird looking wall.
It's cutting off some of the road.
There's a whole area of the town that's cut off by this wall.
Yeah.
And there's a tower sticking up.
It looks like it's been built.
That looks fake.
So fake.
Like, it's not real. It looks like a fake set prop. And I'm like, okay, they're filming. That's what they're filming.
Yeah.
Like,
and then, of course, we had to get a closer look. So once this tour bus stopped, instead of going straight to the gift shop, like we were told to, we went straight toward the wall. And there's a railroad between Woodbury quotations and the other side where they were filming, and there's a giant wall, and there's a lot of buildings. There's a burnt out looking church, and there's another burnt out looking house, and we are confirmed that we saw Daryl's motorcycle, and we crossed the railroad, and there was cops, and they told us that that if the cops' lights are on and they're flashing, that means they're actually filming. And that they have security, and that if you cross the railroad tracks, you'll be fined $250 if you have a camera. And of course, Dad brought his most expensive camera.
No, I didn't bring my zoom lens, so there you go. So the pictures don't look that good. But what happened was the bus stops at the Woodbury shop for souvenir shopping. Yeah, right? I'm like, screw that. We're going to the set. We're going to the set. So I take you.
At first I was like, all right, because I didn't know.
So we're like almost running, but we're walking really fast because we had to get back because the tour was going to start, right?
Yeah.
So we had to be back by a certain time. So we go, we run down there and we cross the tracks. We're not supposed to. I didn't know that. So we crossed the tracks. Yeah, we didn't know that. And we saw a bunch of other people actually sitting around there.
Yeah, just watching too.
Just watching.
And we have a sign that says, due to safety hazard, we can't have the actors come out and sign things for you, which is sad.
Because apparently, in the past, if you go there and you wait long enough, like all day probably,
mm-hmm.
the actors will come out and they'll say, hey, how's it going? And they'll sign things and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I guess because
the group got so big, and plus it interrupted filming because they could hear them back there.
So now they've stopped that by putting up a sign. And we saw like big studio lights and all kinds of stuff. So mm-hmm. they're definitely filming.
We can say that we were there when they were actually filming.
You know, we did see a motorcycle, but I can't say for sure if it was Daryl's.
Lady looked like she was pretty confident that it was.
It was really far. I couldn't tell.
But then again, how did he get his motorcycle back?
Yeah, like how would he get his motorcycle back?
It's maybe impossible. He actually just took it with him and he's just driving to set with it.
Maybe it's, like Daryl's motorcycle, like his personal motorcycle, not part of the show.
Probably.
Oh, maybe that. I don't know. I don't see Norman Reedus riding around a motorcycle in Sonoy.
You don't think so? I think so.
Okay, whatever. But so Norman freaking Reedus. So we come back on the bus and it's like,
and they tell us, be careful if you're going to go look at the set. Just make sure you don't cross the railroad
tracks
because you'll get fined $250.
I'm like, what?
I gave a look at you and I elbowed you.
You slapped me like, I told you, Dad. We shouldn't have done that. I'm like, come on, live on the edge.
He was telling me to live on the edge.
But that was pretty cool. And yeah, and then another thing we saw was, I saw, you know, that tower that was look burnt mm-hmm. out and stuff. I saw like a water hoses shooting up at it, like they mm-hmm. were rinsing it off or something,
like cooling it down maybe because they were going to set it on fire.
Maybe they were going to set it on fire and they were just hosing it down with water. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen? There's a fire?
What? Oh, how far are they into filming? Halfway through the end of season five?
No, they finished the first half of season five.
And they're filming the second half
right now. They're filming the second half.
Who's to say that they're filming the last part of season five? Ooh. And every town they go to, they freaking destroy. So.
Yeah. Oh, another thing we learned was that.
We forgot to put a spoiler alert in case you don't want to know.
Yeah, but I guess we found out also that that whole set that they were using, mm-hmm. that they said that they were going to keep it intact even after the filming is over.
Because they might use it again, or they just want people to tour through it?
As a tour. Because I think it was an agreement between the town and or the neighboring towns or whatever, mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, this is kind of cool. You guys
We're getting so much bank because so many people are coming to our town now.
No, seriously. Like, if it wasn't for The Walking Dead,
that town would never be on the map.
That town would be dead. I mean, it's a really small town.
And it's really pretty, like, on its own.
Like, there's literally, like, two blocks.
Yeah.
The whole town is, like, two blocks long. That's it.
Mm-hmm. But then we did see other stuff, but it was more ghetto looking, like, more rundown.
It wasn't ghetto. It was just dispersed, like, mm-hmm. it was houses, like, it mm-hmm. spread out. It wasn't like there was no real down, like, there's a small little downtown area, but yeah, I mean, you could tell, like, the only reason people go there was for The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of cool. So I'm sure that that town is, it's in their interest to have more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some other stuff we saw is we went to a town where Morgan was,
was
held up.
Mm-hmm. And we got to see the wall where he was, you know, that wall where it said that, he was burning the bodies as they were leaving.
Yeah.
They saw him burning the bodies.
We took a group photo mm-hmm. there.
And we also went to the most iconic place for The Walking Dead, the where Rick is infamously driving or going down the freeway with his horse towards Atlanta.
The skyline.
The empty road. Yeah, the skyline. We went there and took a picture too. We
took some photos, yeah.
And we also went into Morgan's house, the actual apartment he used. Of course, they've taken everything out and it's not the same as it was, but a couple fans have put some stuff together and kind of recreated it.
Yeah, so the original apartment was like the mayor's apartment or something.
Like the mayor bought it.
Oh, the mayor bought it.
Yeah, and allowed that whole thing to happen.
And he said they brought in some artists to kind of recreate the writing on the wall that Morgan
did.
And
that map of the
and the map. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is kind of cool. And I'm sure there's some kind of exchange of money going on with the tour people and the other.
Because they got keys for that area.
Yeah. Because the nice cool thing about the tour people, the tour guides, is that they have keys to certain access to certain areas.
Like they had the keys to the zombie arena from Woodbury where they had the zombie fights with Martinez and Merle, which was awesome. That was pretty cool. You guys are the only ones that get to see this because we have the keys.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We even got to go see where the governor and Rick got to meet up and have talk.
Yeah, the talk between the governor.
Mm-hmm. That place smelled like mothballs, man.
It smelled like poop, but yeah, it was a dark barn-like room, just like in the show. Mm-hmm. And we went in there, we took some photos in there. We saw the restaurant where Michonne and Carl
were trying to get the family photo, and she found that photo, cat thing,
that cat stuffed cat. So we went to that little cafe restaurant thingy. We drove by. We didn't step out, but we drove by the saloon where Rick shot those guys with a quick draw.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. And because Herschel went to get a drink in there,
yeah,
because he was back on the bottle. So we saw that place. Man, now that I think about it, we saw a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We actually even got to go out and actually touch these things.
Yes, sometimes we got out, and mm-hmm. other times it was just like driving by slowly. Okay, get your cameras out. We're driving by this thing.
Get your cameras out, and we'll make a U-turn. Oh, we also saw Terminus. We forgot to say that.
Oh, that was pretty awesome.
That was one of our first stops.
Yeah, we drove by it. We saw terminals. We saw
train car A.
They actually have a train car, and they still has the A on it.
Uh-huh. We even saw where Gareth was saying, get in the train car now! And where Carl was like, oh, shoot the kid!
We saw that whole area.
Uh-huh. And we also saw... You could even check in on Facebook that you're at Terminus. Checked in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Checking in at Terminus.
Getting eaten by Gareth.
Woo! Party!
It was actually pretty fun. And throughout the ride, the tour guides would tell us, because they were zombies on the show.
They had little stories.
They had a little bit of inside things for the show and stuff. So they knew some things, which is kind of cool.
They told you like the steps of how to become a zombie walker on the show. Level A, B, C, D and stuff.
Talking about how, you know, you go to become a walker and they have walker school, but actually what it is, it's kind of like an interview.
Yeah.
They just put everybody and they filter you down to like A, B, C, and D. Like
A are the feature ones that actually get shot and killed by the close up. And then there's the B, which is like the midliners or like,
and then C is A, B, C, and D. And then D is the worst where you're like way in the back.
Sometimes you don't even get makeup. You just get dirt thrown on you.
You just get dirt thrown on you and you're like.
You just have your head down.
So it's just kind
of
funny.
And he also told the story of how like some guy was trying to steal his thunder. Or like that one guy who was like, okay, the director's like, okay, all the walkers are going to go to the right. And there's that one guy that goes to the left and they have to stop. And then Greg Nicotero, head of costume design, director and everything, comes running down yelling at him. And he said, and then the excuse was, well, see, the thing is, I didn't feel like it was in my character to go one way. So I decided to go the other way.
He got fired.
Uh-huh.
And we saw the area where Merle turned into a walker and Daryl.
Yeah, the exact spot. We were stepping over the exact spot. And
Daryl was crying Daryl tears.
And they even had a stick to the point.
They had a stick in the ground.
Marking
like,
where...
This is where...
Merle was.
Merle was. Which was kind of funny. But yeah, so... One thing the way I felt was going through the different areas was... Everything felt smaller.
Yes, it did.
Didn't everything feel small?
Especially the area with where Merle died and that whole fight and everything.
It felt small.
Yeah.
Like on screen, it looks so vast and like, oh, this is a huge area. They're running here. They're running there. I guess it's the way they position the cameras.
Movie magic.
It makes everything look.
And everything is not even like the whole set is like different places in different parts of the city or different parts of the country.
Yeah, like. You think that they're like next to each other, but they're like far away or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the position, the cameras and things like, well, this thing is vast and you don't see that there's houses around.
Yeah.
Because when they're filming a scene in one spot, you just see that spot.
Yeah, that's why it feels so open.
You don't see anything around it. Mm-hmm. So you feel it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But actually it's not in the middle of nowhere. There's houses and people living there and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So that was cool.
Which isn't that pretty cool? Oh, we even got to see the basement where Andrea was kept. We didn't get to see inside it, but remember when we were crossing the railroad and then we saw this building behind us and then once they went through the two of us, like, that's where they were. I was like, what?
Andrea. Yeah, Andrea. I thought you said Andrew. I'm like, well, who's Andrew?
Andrea.
Yeah, Andrea was kept in the chair. Didn't they have the chair that Andrea was in at the basement?
In the souvenir shop?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. In the basement of the Woodbury shop.
I don't know if that was a real chair.
The real Andrea chair?
I don't know if it was a real one.
I think it looked pretty close, pretty similar to that chair. Let's see. Well, yeah. So one tip, or I guess one advice that I could give is that if your flight leaves
at 8:30 or 9,
at 8 o'clock or something, and you're on the second tour,
you're not gonna make it.
No, you're gonna make it, but take your luggage with you.
Yeah, that one guy did that.
That was smart. Yeah, just take your luggage.
Okay, can we tell a story about that guy? Because that's the same guy from the line from the Jeffrey Demoon line.
What do you mean?
Okay, so this guy, little scrawny, not scrawny, but this short little guy, simple looking guy, there was an issue with the line that the Jeffrey Demoon line, like, oh, the VIP third line went in front of the second line, so now we're the end and we're not supposed to be. And they're like, well, we don't know where the end of the line was. And he's like, no, it's that guy right there. He's the end of the line. And he just raised his hand up, like a small little guy's like, I don't know what I got myself into.
He was on our bus.
Yeah, he was on our bus and he had his little luggage and everything. I could have read a sitcom about him. Man.
And two volunteers from Walker Stalker Con was on our bus too. On the first tour.
Andrew Lincoln and all the famous people's handler was there, the Asian guy.
Okay, he's Andrew Lincoln's
Handler.
Volunteer that was at the table helping with Andrew
Lincoln.
I don't
think so, because first of all, he wasn't wearing a volunteer shirt. Second of all, he was there last year also with Andrew Lincoln. I remember because I loved his hair. I was like, this is a cool Asian guy's hair. I love his hair.
So you're thinking that it's some kind of special Andrew Lincoln guy?
Yeah.
That like Andrew Lincoln says, I will only work with this guy. And then they brought him in.
Is his handler? This is probably his manager or something.
I don't know.
Why not? You know who else was there? Also, Norman Reedus's handler, one of his handlers were there too. Yeah.
So we had celebrities. Well, actually, the one guy from Comic Book Man was on our bus.
Ming? What's his name? Ming? Yeah, he was also on our bus too.
He was on our bus too. Cool.
See? They're fans too.
There you go. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a famous tour, and they take you through all the places, so I think it's... I mean, it's the best way. I mean, if we were on our own...
We would never know half the things.
No, we would never, like, know where to go. I mean, we wouldn't even know
what we're looking at.
We could probably figure it out by going on, some website or something.
But wouldn't it be as fun? You wouldn't get the stories and everything like this tour
Because the tour guide was actually pointing things out, like, oh, notice this, notice that. Like, oh, okay.
Things that you probably wouldn't have noticed.
Exactly. I mean, we would never notice that. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like... What I want to do is when they start filming the next season, I want to go just there and just
watch.
Stalk them.
But don't want to get arrested, Dad, because I know you can get a little out of hand and living on the edge can get us a fine. Okay. No long range scopes. They hate that.
Yeah. They don't want super long. But we were told the stories about people going there with microphones.
Trying to pick up stuff.
Yeah, trying to listen.
That's messed up. Listening
in on dialogue.
I mean, it's
stuff.
Fine if you just.
I mean, what we did was nothing. It was innocent. We walked by, we took a few photos, like, hey, this is cool, and we left. But if you're stalking them and using
for hours,
telephoto lenses and super powerful microphones and stuff, that's kind of creepy. And
it's it's fine if you just want to listen to yourself. It's like you just want to see it for yourself. Like you just want to see it just to see it.
But if you're publishing it online.
Yeah, then that's another story.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be doing that. Okay, Jasmine, Andrew J. West is gone for good now.
I'll go through my post-cannibal depression.
Post-cannibalistic depression. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to follow him for more movies and stuff. I saw a short film of it with him in it. That's pretty cool.
Oh, you did? This is one thing I noticed about The Walking Dead that's happened to us is when a character leaves or an actor leaves the show, we kind of stalk him and find out.
See what happens after the show.
Find out where he goes. What's his name? John Bernthal is our favorite.
Mm-hmm.
We follow him everywhere now. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, there he is. Let's go watch this thing.
Yeah, Mob City. That was good. I really liked that. So sad that they ended it. It was so good.
And then
Wolf of Wall Street.
Just because of him.
Yeah. And we ended up, it was just more than we expected.
And then Fury has a new movie
we're
out.
To see that, yeah.
Yeah, so we got to see Fury because he's in there.
Plus, I follow all of them on Instagram, so I see their updates and stuff and on Twitter. Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate any feedback you might have. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.